So for today, I just wanted to talk about worship. You know, we've been talking a lot about how worship is not supposed to be a spectator sport, right? That we're not here just to watch the worship team perform songs, but that we're here to actually engage in worship. And so I just wanted to use this opportunity because I'm in charge of worship at SP. And I thought, you know, I've been given this opportunity to speak, and we haven't really done this. I don't even know if this is the right forum to do this. So I can't say this is like a message, like a sermon, but it's really more of just a sharing of what I feel like God, where God is leading us in terms of SP worship and our vision and hope as the team of what we want to do. So if you can turn with me to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5, verse 11 through 14. Revelation 5, 11 through 14. This is from the New Living Translation. Then I looked again, and I heard the voices of thousands and millions of angels around the throne and of the living beings and the elders. And they sang in a mighty chorus, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slaughtered to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea, they sang, "Blessing and honor and glory and power belong to the one sitting on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." And the four living beings said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped the Lamb. Amen. Let's pray together. God, thank you for this Sunday. We thank you just for speaking to us, even through the worship and meeting with us. And I just pray that Holy Spirit, you would come and anoint just my word so that I can speak your message, God, to the church. And we just ask you for the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit to come and just open our hearts and minds and ears to hear what you're saying to us today. And I pray that it will just transform us and give us life and strength, and we thank you for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, I'm going to be talking about singing, mostly about singing and the musical aspect of our worship in SP, but I just want to send out a disclaimer and say, you guys have to remember, worship is not just singing, right? Worship is much more than singing, right? It's a lifestyle, it's your heart attitude of how you live your life. It's your life of obedience to God. And all that, you know, we say you worship God through the way you live your life, right? So we have to remember that worship is much more than music. But as we see today in today's passage in Revelation 5, music is a big aspect of worship. You know, music and singing and taking out that special time to sing to the Lord and to praise Him, you know, with music and singing. That's a big part of worship. That's what I want to talk about today. First, let me share with you the SP worship team purpose. We do have a purpose statement. It's not really a statement, it's 3 points, but we have an SP worship purpose, and this is it. Number one, SP worship team, we exist to minister before the Lord, right? We want to minister before the Lord, first of all. And number two is we want to create an environment for people to worship God freely. You know, and Chris led us so well today. Really, you know, he just led us into singing and just into this time where we could meet with God and worship Him freely. And the third one is we want to connect the people of God with the presence of God. Right? We want to connect the people of God with the presence of God. I'm sure there's many more things you could say about worship, but those three things I felt were most important for us in this season as we lead our church in worship. So number one, I'm just going to briefly explain the purposes. Number one, minister before the Lord. God is worthy. God is worthy of our worship, right? We need to remember this, that God is worthy because He's the creator of the universe, and He's so glorious and so holy and so deserving of us singing to Him and worshiping Him and praising Him. And if we I heard a sermon about this a while ago. If we just think about how many times does the name of the Lord get dishonored on this earth? You know, on TV, by your friends and colleagues. How many times do people misuse the name of the Lord and they use His name in vain, or they use the name of Jesus as a curse word? They say that, you know, they say all these things about God. They mock Him on TV, on comedy shows. And a lot of the time, sadly, we laugh along with them. We say, oh yeah, that's so funny. You know, and we hardly ever speak up, right, for the name of the Lord Jesus. But if we truly are in love with Him, you know, if someone makes fun of, I don't know, Tom, right, my brother Tom. Like if someone were to make fun of Tom or say something mean about him that is actually hurtful, I would speak up and say, hey man, that's my brother that you are dissing and I don't like it, you should stop right now. But but with the Lord Jesus, so often we're like, so I don't know, we're so timid, you know, when people make fun of Him. When people say stupid things about Him, we just let it go or we ignore it. And how important is it then that we take this time out to really honor Him and to say, God, you know, the world might be mocking You, the world might be saying all these things, using Your name in vain, but in this time when we come together for the 30 minutes or so, we're going to worship You, we're going to honor You, we're going to glorify You, we're going to say good things about You, you know, we're going to admire You. So, you know, I said earlier, worship is lifestyle, right? Worship of the heart, worship as you live your life of obedience and all that. But I think there's something very special if we set aside a time, set aside a special time just to minister to Him through singing, you know, through worship, through music. And why do I say that? Because it's like that for us too. You know, if somebody, you know, because we know we're brothers and sisters in this church and we know we love each other. But if somebody were to take time out and make special effort to sing a song to you, you know, to serenade you with music, you're going to feel very special, right? I remember when I was a little boy, I don't even remember how long this ago is, but my grandfather turned 60. And in Korea, 60th birthday is a huge deal, right? Before, in the past, it was a bigger deal because, you know, people didn't live as long, right? So 60th birthday, I remember going to this party, this huge party. I was a little boy, and me and my brother, we both went up and we sang a song for my grandfather, and I played a melodica. Do you guys even know what it is? It's a little piano-looking thing, and you blow into it, and it makes noise, and you play it, and one of us is playing it, and one of us is singing. I don't remember, but, you know, my grandfather knows. He knows that we love Him. He knows that we honor Him, we respect Him, but there's something special about taking the time out to say, Grandfather, we're going to honor You this time with singing and with music. And, you know, in college, we used to do this. I went to a Christian university. So we did this thing called Sisters Appreciation Night, right? It's when all the boys get dressed up real nice, right? I think we've done this in a few house churches too. And usually what the guys do, they get dressed real nice and they cook for the ladies, and then they serve the ladies food, and then there's always some kind of performance where we sing, right? We get together and we sing a song. We sing songs like, you know, You're Just Too Good to Be True. I think I've sung that twice in a Sister's Vision. You know, and girls love it, you know? Because it's special. They know that the brothers love them. But if we take the time out to sing that song and we make a special occasion out of it, there's something that's special about that. And I think it works the same way with God, right? We worship Him through our life. We worship Him through the way we live our lives, you know, our obedience, our heart, you know, of just honoring Him all the time. But if we take that time out, because you know what? Look at Revelation 5:11 and 11 through 14. These angels and elders and living beings are in heaven right now, at this very moment, they're worshiping the Lord through music and through singing. They're constantly, 24/7, night and day, singing to the Lord, saying, Lord, you are worthy. Worthy is the Lamb. Holy, holy, holy. You're so glorious. You're so deserving of our worship. Why would God have these angels worship him if it didn't matter to him? You know, I mean, you know, and we get to join in with the angels when we take this time out. And if you read in 1 Chronicles 23 through 25, we don't have time to read it, but it's David, King David, when he was king and he brought the Ark of the Covenant back, which represented the presence of God, back into Jerusalem, he actually set up 4,000 musicians and 288 singers to worship the Lord, to minister before the Ark of the Covenant night and day, regularly, every day. And so our job, worship team's job, is first and foremost to minister to God. We want to worship him. We want to sing these songs, take that special time out, not just on Sunday, but throughout our week, you know, just to worship God and say, God, you're so holy. You're so beautiful. You're so lovely. You're so glorious. You know, you're worthy of our worship. So that's our first purpose. And we're inviting you to join us, basically, right? We're saying, hey, we're going to minister before God. Why don't you join us in ministering before the Lord? And join the angels. Join the worship of heaven. So that's number one. Number two is I'm going to quickly show a video, so if you guys can cue that up. Our second purpose is to create an environment for people to come and worship God freely, right? And that's mainly what we're talking about is our musical excellence. You know, we want to make sure that our music enhances the worship experience, so to speak, that we minimize distractions. You know, because if the worship team, and today they were fantastic, right? They were fantastic in what they were doing. But if the worship team, like if the drummer kept speeding up all the time, or if they kept singing out of harmony, it throws people off. You'll be like, oh Lord, oh, what, you know, like, or like you'll be clapping and then you're clapping faster and faster. And those kind of things, you know, our worship team, we want to minimize distraction so that the music can really help the people worship God freely in their coming together with him. But music, right? Music is a gift from the Lord. Our music, I mean, we know that music is created by God. Every beautiful thing is created by God. The devil can't create. So the music is a creation from the Lord, and it's a gift to us. And music has certain effects upon people. And I just want to show you a quick video. I hope you're not offended by a video like this, but let's, we're ready. You might have seen this already, but it's pretty amazing. It's about 3 minutes long, if you can bear with me. Thank you. That's awesome. So cool. Flash mob. You can YouTube it. But when we watch a video like that and hear a song like that, we get excited, right? There's something that music does in our heart. It just pumps us up. I mean, how can you listen to a song like that, watch a video like that, not get like pumped up, you know? It's like, wow, so cool. So pumped. Like, yeah. And another thing, music, when we see that video, we see how music creates such unity among people, right? There's so much unity that comes through music, and we're also able to express our joy and our excitement, right? So, number one, music unites people. You know, there's nothing else like singing a song together, you know, to unite people. You see this in, like, sporting events, you know? It's usually chanting, not so much singing, but there's sometimes singing involved. But, you know, you go to a basketball game or something, and this is where you really see how music brings people together. Is like, I went to a school called Biola, spelled B-I-O-L-A, right? And our rival, it's a small Christian university in the States, and our rival school was called Azusa Pacific University. And we would meet together for basketball matches, right? And our team, our cheer was B-I-O-L-A, B-I-O-L-A. And everybody would start cheering together. And you just sense unity, I mean, school spirit coming together. You know, you don't see that. I mean, think about it. When else do you see a group of people coming together to do the same exact thing in that same spirit? Not very often. Not very often do you see a group of people come together, sing the same song, and have that spirit of unity. Azusa Pacific would come back and have this cheer. Beat, Biola, beat, beat, Biola. And I always thought that was the more catchy cheer than Biola. But and the crowds would get riled up. And you see this, you know, in soccer, World Cup soccer, Korea, you know, all the fans sing a song together and you see the unity. And you see this also in singing national anthems. Right? I mean, I think this is why we sing national anthem, because as we all get together, we put our hand and we sing that song, there's that sense of unity, of people coming together for loyalty to a country, right, for a purpose, for meaning. And another thing that music does, music helps us express our feelings in ways that's better than just words. You know, I mean, when we're happy, when things are going well, you just got a raise, you just got promoted. You sing in the shower, right? How many people, if you're honest, would admit that you sing in your shower? You know, you're like, yeah, you know, you just sing a happy song when you're happy. And just songs come out of you, especially if you're musical, right? And you express your feelings that way, you express your emotions that way. And sometimes when we're sad, we listen to a song and we say, oh man, that song just captures exactly what I'm feeling. Because sometimes words are not enough, but music helps us do that. Number three, music communicates a message, right? What I mean is, I know at least two couples in our church where the guy sang a song either at the wedding or during their engagement process, proposal process, and it was successful, you know? The girls loved it. And they were able to communicate their love, you know, and their care. And, you know, it communicates love. It communicates this message. And the last one, music moves us emotionally, right? I mean, it affects our emotions. You watch a video like that, we do get pumped up. We get excited. And other songs can, like, really touch us and move us in a deep way, bring us to tears. I think you guys all probably all have watched it. If you haven't, YouTube this too. His name is Paul Potts. He's a British man. He came out in Britain's Got Talent, and he's like chubby. He looks like a loser, really. In a cheap kind of... Really? I think that's how they played it. That's how they edited it, you know, the show. Like, they make him out to be like not so cool or whatnot. And he comes up and the judges say, well, so what are you going to do? And he's like, oh, I'm going to sing opera. And you can see the judges kind of like rolling their eyes and like, okay, you know, let's see this. But he starts singing, and it's so beautiful. He sings this song, Nessun Dorma, which is in Italian. I don't even know what it means, right? I don't even know what he's saying. But when he's singing, I'm watching this video, I'm tearing up. I'm like, oh, that song just moves me, you know? It touches me. So music has these effects. And I believe God has given us music as a gift so that we can express our worship to God. You know, not that we depend on music. We have to guard ourselves against depending on music and saying, oh, our music wasn't that good today at church, so worship wasn't that good. You know, I didn't feel like God's presence. Now, you know, that's so silly. We shouldn't be doing that. But music is a gift that God has given us. And our worship team, we want to, I guess, harness this gift, right? This tool that God has given to us to help us express our love to God. You know, when we sing songs like Blessed Be Your Name, you know, that's kind of like a pump-up song, you know, like, yeah, blessed be your name, Lord. Every blessing you pour out, I'll praise you, et cetera, et cetera. When we sing a song like You Bring Restoration, right? Well, not song like that, but you know songs like Father, I want you to hold me. I want to rest in your arms today. Songs like that really brings out that emotion of just longing to be in the presence of God and receiving his love and all that. And, you know, moves us emotionally, and it helps us to feel that kind of affection, you know? But we have to also remember that good music is not enough. Right? Good music will do that. You know, it will pump us up, move us emotionally, unite us as a church to sing God's praise. But that's not enough. Because if we just come together on Sunday and we just want a good emotional high experience through worship, that is, it's good, but it's pointless. It has no real power to transform our lives. And that's what the third purpose is, to connect the people of God with the presence of God, right? Our hope and our desire is that our worship team would somehow be able to tap into God's anointing, that we would move beyond our gifting and abilities of creating music, and that we would tap into this power that comes from God to come and love His people and connect with His people so that there will be real transformation and real freedom and real healing that happens. When we sing songs like You Bring Restoration, that's a good song. It has a nice melody, and it can move us emotionally and be like, yeah, Lord, restoration, that's good. You know, we're like, Lord, we need Your restoration. But if it stops at a good emotional high, kind of moving our feeling kind of thing, it's empty. What we're going for, what we're praying for, is that when we sing that song, You Bring Restoration, that God would really come down and bring true restoration, true healing, and true transformation to people. You know, we don't want to just settle with nice music and just have it perfectly practiced and well rehearsed so that we don't have any mistakes. We actually want to tap into, you know, in God's anointing, you know, where He can come and He can truly transform us and heal us through the songs that we sing. And it's not just an emotional high. And this is where the worship team, we just completely have to be dependent upon the Lord, right? Because we can't practice this. You can't rehearse presence of God coming and doing a mighty work in the church, right? We just have to pray. You know, it's all through prayer. And this God convicted me of this a few months back, because for a long time I was focusing a lot on, yeah, we got to have good music so that we can allow people to worship God freely. And I kind of forgot about this part of God's power coming down. And when P-Sam, God was kind of speaking this to me, and then P-Sam preached a sermon on worship, and it just hit home. I was like, man, our worship team, we need to pray. Like, we can't just rehearse and be well practiced. We need to pray that through our music, the people of God that we're trying to lead will be able to connect with the presence of God. And that's beyond us. We can't do this. And so, you know, come to pre-service prayer. Come to pre-service prayer. That's when you're going to pray. You're going to join us. I've asked all the worship team guys to come to pre-service prayer every Sunday to pray and to join in just asking the Lord that He will come and do something amazing. That He'll come and do something that only He can do in our worship time, in our 30 minutes of worship time where we minister before the Lord and we connect with God. So that's our part. That's the job of the worship team. Now, briefly, I just want to talk to you about what I think you guys should do. Because there's a part that you need to play as a congregation as you come before the Lord. And as I was praying for this message, the word that God gave me, I feel like the word that God gave me was engage, right? I was like, engage, okay. That's why I titled this sermon, Engage in Worship. Engage in Worship. And what does it mean to engage? So I looked it up in the dictionary, engage. And three definitions came out, and I think it fits perfectly to what I think God is leading us into. And number one is to involve oneself. That's the obvious one, right? If you engage yourself, you involve yourself in something. You're not disengaged. You're not shutting your mind off. You're not shutting your brain off. You're engaged and you're focused and you're involving yourself in what is going on at the church. Number two, the second definition is to pledge or promise, especially to marry, right? That engage. When we say, oh, I'm engaged, or so-and-so is engaged. Charles and Janice, they're engaged, you know? Like, wow, that's fantastic. Promise, pledge to marry. Number three, to enter into conflict or battle, right? That's the third definition of engage, because you engage in war, right? And you say, I'm going to engage my enemy at this point, you know? And I believe these three things is what God is asking us to do as a church, as we worship the Lord, you know, as we sing these songs. And I mean, the first one, obvious definition, involve yourself. When you come to church, I mean, I think we're already doing a fantastic job, but you're the ones that will be ministering before the Lord, right? Not just the team. You're not here just to say, oh yeah, I think that sounded really good today, or the piano was off, or whatever. You know, we can say all these things or criticize, but you're not here to criticize or critique the worship team. You're here to minister before the Lord. And I think when you're singing, if you could just imagine and picture in your head heaven's worship, you know, that right now as we are singing these songs, I was trying to do that today, and it worked. You imagine heaven's worship going on in heaven right now, and you're just joining them in singing this song and saying, God, you're holy, you're wonderful, you're worthy. And that's what we're doing when we come together. We're not just, you know, I mean, it's when we're up there leading worship and we're looking out, because we do look out at what God is doing in the congregation. When we see like one of these, you know, it's like, it's hard. It's like, oh man, they're not connecting. They're not engaging in worship. I hope that you can engage. I mean, there are different stages we need to go through, but as you get more comfortable in coming to church and as you get closer to God, I hope that you can really engage in worship. And when we have that time of waiting on the Lord, wait on the Lord, you know? Expect God to come and speak to you and speak through you, because that's, you're involving yourself. And if you don't involve and if you don't engage yourself, there is no unity, you know? You can take yourself out and you won't be part of the unity of the church. And so, things like that, you know, that's what I'm talking about. And another thing that I want to ask you to do is sing a new song to the Lord. That's what we're trying to do as a worship team. That we're not just singing a song like it's rehearsed. You know, like, you know, if you rehearse something over and over and over and over again, it kind of loses significance. Like if you were to, I don't know, say something to your beloved on Valentine's or whatnot, and you just have a rehearsed kind of thing, and you're like, I'm just going to practice, and then you kind of say it mechanically to your beloved, it has like no meaning. But the best kind of like wedding vows you hear is when it's kind of spontaneous. You know, they're together and he's like put on the spot and he kind of says something and it's spontaneous. Sometimes spontaneous is messy. Sometimes it's like, man, he really should have practiced it a few times. But spontaneous sometimes, like if it's on, you know, it's the most powerful. It's the most touching. And kind of in the same way, we want to enter into this place of worship where we're not just singing rehearsed songs based off how the people do it on CD. You know, we don't want to just do a song service, right? We want to enter into a time where we are singing a spontaneous song of love to God, because it flows out of our heart. And sometimes it's messy. Sometimes you're going to be there. I do that. I try to do it, you know, and I'm singing to the Lord, and I feel like I'm just repeating myself or saying something really kind of basic or kind of lame. Like, I'm just like, oh, it's kind of not good. But it's at least it's real and it's genuine, and it's not just a rehearsed kind of piece. It's a rehearsed line. And I mean, not that it's bad. You know, I mean, you know, singing a song that's rehearsed, that's great, because there's truth in that and there's meaning in that. But I want us to move beyond that, you know, where we enter into that time of worship where we're singing before the Lord. So how can you do this? You need to worship God on your own, right? You need to talk to us. Talk to the worship team, guys. Talk to your house church leaders and say, hey, what's a good worship CD I can buy? What's a good worship song, you know, I don't know, like what's a good worship song that I can listen to? And we'll try to help you, we'll try to guide you and to the right CDs and to the right kind of singers and bands or whatnot, you know. But I think it's key. If we want to enter into this, we need to worship God on our own. Just in our own quiet times. If you're not a musician, it's okay, put on a CD. And if you're not a singer, because you know a lot of the times, like singing is difficult for people, this is the best time to do it, because you know what? God always thinks your voice is amazing, right? God's going to listen to your voice and be like, oh, it's so beautiful. I love you singing to me, you know? And so it's the best time to do it for you. Just sing to the Lord and worship God on your own. And I think we're going to grow in this kind of thing. That's number one, you know, the involving ourselves. Number two is engagement. Pledge or promise, especially especially to Mary. And this one, is what I'm talking about here is intimacy. Intimacy. God, in the Bible, when He relates to His people, He uses the relationship of Father and Son, right? You hear that a lot. God is our Heavenly Father, and we are His children. And we kind of sense the love of God in that way, where He just loves on us unconditionally because we are His sons and daughters. But another way that God relates, or God uses to illustrate His relationship with us, is through this illustration of the bride and the bridegroom. And Jesus being the bridegroom, and we are the bride. Individual believers and the church as a whole. We are Jesus' precious bride. And, you know, I'll just give you some references. 2 Corinthians 11 and 11:12. Paul says, you know, I betrothed you to one husband, to Jesus. And Revelations 19:7, it talks about the wedding day of the Lamb. You know, and how the bride is pure and spotless, and you're going to marry the Lamb. Isaiah 62 talks about how God delights over His people as a bridegroom delights over his bride. And that's how God relates to us. And the church, we are God's, Christ's pure and spotless bride, and He loves us that with that kind of love and that kind of intimacy. And I think that's what God wants. When we come together on Sunday to worship, He wants this kind of intimacy with us. You know, when I was about 15, that's when I met the Lord, maybe for the first time, you know, really met the Lord, and it was during worship. It was during the singing. I just felt God's presence, and I just knew that He was real. And from then on, this journey began of drawing closer to Him and drawing into intimacy with Him. You know, and a husband and wife, that kind of intimacy is nothing, there's nothing else like it, right? Even your best friend, even brother and sister, you know, that the intimacy between a husband and a wife is beyond any other kind of relationship. And that's the kind of relationship that God uses to illustrate the one that He wants to have with us. And He's inviting us. And the cool thing is, I believe when we come before the Lord, it's not just us singing these songs of love. You know, songs like More Than Life, I Love You More Than Life. You know, those songs are good. But I believe when we come together, God sings a song over us. In Song of Songs, chapter 4, verse 9 through 10, this one we should turn to. Song of Songs, chapter 4, verse 9 through 10. Song of Songs, chapter 4, 9 through 10. You have made my heart beat faster, my sister, my bride. You have made my heart beat faster with a single glance of your eyes, with a single strand of your necklace. How beautiful is your love, my sister, my bride. How much better is your love than wine and the fragrance of your oils than all kinds of spices. This Song of Songs written by Solomon, between Solomon and his lover, his beloved, and they kind of exchange these words of love. But it is a Holy Spirit-inspired book that also illustrates the relationship that Jesus wants to have with the church. And when this is actually Solomon saying this to the bride, which means this is what God is saying over the church. And He's saying, you have made my heart beat faster. Another version translation would say, you have ravished my heart. And it says, with a single glance of your eyes, just when you look at me, my heart beats faster and my heart is ravished by you. This is the kind of thing that God wants to say to us. And I believe it's every time we get together. Every Sunday we come together and we worship God. These are the things that God wants to say to us and say, my bride, my church, you, with a single glance of your eyes, when you just turned and looked at me, my heart was ravished for you. And you are altogether beautiful and lovely. And your love to me is better than wine, than all the other things, and all the other pleasures of this world. And then we say it back to the Lord. Right? That's the kind of intimacy. It's not just coming together and singing a few songs. God wants intimacy with us when we come together. Engaging in worship is remembering that we are engaged to Jesus Christ, you know, in that kind of intimate relationship with Him. The last one, enter into battle, enter into conflict or battle, you know, when you engage an enemy. And this is something that I think God is starting to do in our church. When Prophet Chuck Pierce was here Thursday in our church, right? He kind of prophesied about worship, and he said we're going to have violent worship, and he talked about worship warrior and kind of doing warfare through worship. And to be honest, this is something that I need to grow in. I don't even really, when he said violent worship, I was like, what does that mean? You know, I talked to some people and we're all kind of trying to figure that out, but that's where God wants to bring us. In Psalm 68, you could turn there with me, Psalm 68, verse 1. Psalm 68, verse 1, it says, let God arise and let His enemies be scattered, and let those who hate Him flee before Him. Let God arise, let His enemies be scattered. God is already at the highest place possible, right? God is already risen, I mean, to the highest point. So how does God arise? I mean, how do we say, let God arise? I believe God arises through our praises, you know what I mean? Which is not that God isn't already there, but maybe in our minds and in our hearts, we're lifting God back to the place where He belongs, you know? And that's how what it means to let God arise in our hearts, in our minds. And as we do that, it says, and let His enemies be scattered, and let those who hate Him flee before Him. I think this is a picture of this kind of warfare worship, where we were lifting God's name up, and we're saying, God, be raised up in our hearts and in our minds. We want to, you know, let the name of the Lord rise up, and as we do that, the enemy flees. You know, there's many places, and especially in the Old Testament, where God calls the people of Israel to go into battle, but the battle strategy is not, you know, fight, is sing, you know? Get your instruments out and sing and praise God and worship God. And as they obey, the enemies, usually what happens is the enemies start killing each other. Crazy. But it happens, I think, once with Gideon and another time with King Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, right? These enemies are coming, and King Jehoshaphat is like, I don't know what's going on, what to do. And he prays to the Lord and he fasts and he says, God, we are powerless against this enemy and we don't know what to do. And God sends a prophet and says, don't worry, God's going to rescue you. God's going to deliver His people. And then King Jehoshaphat says to the people, then say, okay, don't worry, trust what the prophet is saying. And then on the day of the battle, the prophet kind of instructs the army and says, actually get the singers up, get the instrument, the musicians up, and just worship God. And as they march in worship, the enemies scatter, right? I mean, they actually fight each other and they actually kill themselves. And so, that's what God wants us to do. Not that it's every time. I mean, you know, when we talk about spiritual warfare, I think you can't just rely on a formula. You can't just say, oh, God did worship here, so we're just going to worship and we're going to have victory. I mean, we got to listen to God and be sensitive to how God's leading us. But worship is one weapon, you know, one of our weapons. And I believe most of our battle happens in our minds, right? Most of our battles happen in our mind and our hearts. And when we're going through turmoil and trouble and unbelief and doubt and fear, we say, this is enough. We're going to choose to worship God. One of the other worship leaders, Samantha, this is her kind of definition of violent worship. That when everything like in your heart is like against praising God, and we're fearful and we're doubting, we say, enough is enough. We're going to worship the Lord and we're going to declare who He is. And that's kind of violent worship and engaging in battle, you know, entering into battle against the enemy. So, amen. So, yeah, engage in worship. When we come together, pray for the worship team that we can fulfill our job of ministering before God and praying and getting ourselves ready and preparing and practicing. But we also need to, as a church, come together and engage in worshiping God together. And God's going to do amazing things. One of the prophetic words given by Chuck was that there will be healings just through worship. And I hear about it, I read about it, I've never seen it, but I want to see it, you know? I want to see it happen in our church when we just worship the Lord and people get healed. I mean, people probably do get healed, like, emotionally already, so I shouldn't say I haven't seen it happen. I mean, people, God heals more than just physically, right? God heals emotionally, mental, and all that kind of stuff too. But we're going to see God move powerfully, you know, through worship. So if we can just close our eyes and invite the worship team back up. Let's go back to that point about intimacy with the Lord as we kind of close this service. And if you want more kind of instruction, information, a teaching about this Song of Songs, the book of Song of Solomons, and also just kind of having this understanding of us being the bride and Jesus being the bridegroom and the kind of intimacy that God wants to have with us, there's actually a great teaching by Mike Bickle. He does a series on the Song of Songs, and it changed my life. It totally revolutionized the way I thought about my relationship with God and my life. And I encourage you to look into it. But as today, as we close this service, let's meditate upon this, that God wants to have intimacy, that He wants to go much deeper than what you and I are expecting on a normal Sunday, you know? I mean, we just expect to have a nice service. You know, we expect to come and have a nice time, fellowship, and hear the Word. But God is after something so much greater. And He wants to draw us into His presence, just His love and His intimacy. So let's just meditate upon that.
To love you, I will live. All stand together.
The greatest love that anyone could ever know, it overcame the cross and grave to find my soul. Until I see you face to face, in grace amazing takes me home. I'll trust in
all I am.
With all I am, I live to see your kingdom come. And in my heart, I pray you let your will be done. Until I see you face to face, and grace amazing takes me home. I'll trust in you,
and I will live. The voice.
You are the voice that calls the universe to be. You are the whisper in my heart that speaks to me. Still I see you face to face, and grace amazing takes me home. I'll trust in you. I will live, I will live to bring you praise. I will live, what child in all of you. I will live. Child in all of you.
nest set. Let's sing this song. With our eyes closed, just imagine the worship in heaven. Just sing this song. Sing this song of praise unto God, who's seated on the throne.
See a child in awe of you.
With one voice, let's sing. I will live to love you.
I will live to love you. I will live to bring you praise. I will live a child in awe of you.
Receive that praise, Lord.
You are love, Sakado.
Jesus, we come before you and we want to worship you, Lord. You know, we just want to praise you with singing, and we want to honor you and glorify you. We just want to see your name lifted high, God, and put back into place, the place, you know, where it belongs, God, where, you know, it's lifted up, God, and it's honored and respected and glorified. And so, Lord, we want to, join the heaven's worship right now, God, and just worship you and honor you and thank you and praise you. And I just thank you that you've given us music, you know, to be able to express our worship to you, and then you unite us, God, through this music, Lord. And I just pray for, you know, worship at our church, you know, that it will go deeper in intimacy, God, and also just more awareness of what it means to have violent worship, God, to really to battle against the enemy, and not just defensively, but Lord, on the offense, God, to really take back what the enemy has done and destroy the works of the enemy through as we worship and as we sing of your love and declare the truth of who you are. So come and teach us, Lord. And just encourage us, God. Strengthen us to really engage ourselves, God, in worship. Thank you, Lord. I just pray your blessing over our church members, Lord, that your presence would go before them and after them, and that your guidance, your protection will be over them, your provision and favor with people and favor with you, Lord, wherever they go. So, Lord, we thank you and we bless you. We worship you. We love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bless you guys. Have a great day.